We have a reading from the first book of Kings, chapter 3, verses 3 to 15. You'll find it on page 305 of your Old Testament in the pew. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this for your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Then Solomon awoke. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, and provided a feast for all his servants. So ends the reading.
So if you know anything about King Solomon, you know he is attributed for his wisdom. So it is this text from 1 Kings chapter 3 where you understand where that gift of wisdom comes from. It was something perhaps born in him as a gift from God. And what this scene is, if you will, an inauguration ceremony of a new king. It's a transfer of power from his father, King David, who is perhaps on his deathbed or near that point of life, to his son Solomon, who will take over and be the next king of Israel. And this comes in a dream, and if you know anything about the Bible, that's how God communicates with us most clearly when God wants to give you a message. So if you're dreamers at night, pay attention, because that might be exactly how God chooses to speak to you, because that seems to be the biblical way. And this is quite a dream if you actually stop and think about it. God comes to Solomon in the dream and says, "Make a wish. Any wish. Whatever you wish, I will give you." Now, what would you do if God came to you tonight with such a wonderful opportunity? It's kind of like Aladdin and the lamp going to the genie thinking, "What might I want? A little more money in the bank? a little bit more power or prestige in life. Maybe something vain. Maybe I'd like to be a little bit taller or a little bit thinner or a little bit younger. A lot of people out there in the world are looking for those kinds of wishes to happen. Just think of the news the last few weeks incessantly about the lottery and how the whatever it is game keeps going up and everyone's clamoring to get in on the action because a wish might just come true. But Solomon was wise. We're told in the text that he didn't go after the things of the world. He basically said to God, "Allow me to be a good king. Allow me to govern honestly and wisely, to take care of my people that you're entrusting to me." Perhaps this might be required reading anytime there's a change in leadership anywhere in the world for those going into power to be reminded of this story. So what set Solomon up to be so wise to ask for that when he could have asked for anything in the world? Well, the text gives us three answers. The first is he knew his roots. He knew his father. He knew his father's faith. And it's not in this text, but on David's deathbed, he said to the son, his son Solomon, who was going to be the next king, his final words were, "Obey the Lord's commands and live accordingly to God's law." It's not bad advice to leave your children. Today we are celebrating All Saints' Day. We're thinking about people who've left their legacies. When I do life reviews with people, one of the questions I ask is, "Who taught you the faith?" Because that's important. Somebody has brought you to this place. You probably didn't get here on your own. You've probably had somebody who took the time and the investment to share with you the story of our faith. And it might be a handful of people who've been your spiritual guides and mentors and teachers. Take a moment to think of who has done that for you and gotten you to this place today. Just silently say their name to yourself as one of the saints that we're remembering this day. Solomon got to this point because his father was such a teacher, such a guide, someone who introduced him to the love of God. Second thing that I think we learn from Solomon is the value of making a commitment to God. It was clear as he responds in this dream to the Lord that he wanted to be on the Lord's side. He wanted to be in God's favor. And that means he had to make a commitment to be with God. It's basically this. You're either going to choose the ways of the world or you're going to choose to follow God. You can't do both. Scripture tells us it's impossible to serve two masters. So I want to tell you a little story about Luciano Pavarotti. When he was growing up in Medina, Italy, he didn't think of himself on a path to be a great opera singer. He wanted to be a teacher. Yet his father saw a musical gift in him and made sure that he had music lessons. And while he was taking his music lessons, he was preparing to be a teacher. Because that's what he wanted to do with his life. And one day, as he was home on a break from university and he was preparing to teach, that was the career path ahead of him, he sat with his father to have a conversation about his future and what direction he should take. And his father said to him, "You can either sit on this chair, that's a chair of music, or you can sit on this chair that's a chair of education. But a person cannot sit on two chairs. You will fall somewhere in between on the floor." You have to choose. So Pavarotti heard that, thought about it, listened to the wisdom of his father, and he went in the other direction. He realized that the real passion and the real gift that God had placed in him was not to be a teacher, but to be a musician and to share music with the world. So he went on from university, and 14 years later, with all the training it took, he was singing at the Metropolitan Opera because he had learned the wisdom of making a commitment to one chair, one focus in life, one place where you're going to put your gifts and use them. The world is always giving us choices. It's wise to make the best choice. And then that follows up to the third and final point that we learn from this text. Solomon teaches us the real benefit of knowing yourself, knowing who you are and what God wants to do with your life. Now, we all might wish we were Solomon tonight, go to bed and have this incredible dream when God comes to us and speaks to us and talks so clearly to us that we know we've been visited by God. It would be really nice someday if God would just say, Joe, this is who you are, this is what you should be doing with your life, and this is what I want you to do next. Right? Wouldn't that be an ideal world? Often the conversation doesn't happen that clearly, but the conversation does happen. It happens when God does a couple of things with us. First starts when God gifts us. Do you realize you're a gifted person? You might not want to compare yourself to the person next to you and a gift that he or she might have, but that's not your gift, that's his or her gift. What is your gift? What is that uniqueness that God created and planted in you? That's who you are. Solomon realized his gift. He was called to be king. Not everyone was called to be king. He realized that God had put some gifts in him where he could be a good king. And if you don't know your gifts, ask the people around you that know you best. What makes me special? And listen to them. Discern from them. They'll point out to you what your God-given gifts are, and then put those to use. Solomon became the king that he was because he was in tune to the blessings and the gifts that God had bestowed upon him. He knew from the day one that he was called to this special work. Do you have that clarity in your life? Can you say from day one what you feel you've been tasked to do by God? And if you can't answer that question from day one, can you answer it now in life? And if you can't, then I would encourage you to talk to some people and see if you can find that clarity. Because I think there's no greater joy in the world than living the life you are meant to live, using your gifts that are uniquely yours. And that's how you make a difference as Solomon made a difference. I wonder what I would do if I were that knight in Gibeon and had that opportunity, and God would say to me, ask what you want. I hope I wouldn't waste my wish. I hope I wouldn't waste it on something vain and totally what's really insignificant in life. So as I thought about this, if I had to answer, because Solomon did, he didn't get to say, oh, let me think about it, God, and I'll get back with you tomorrow or next week. God expected an answer then and there. So as I was putting these thoughts together, I thought, what would I be wise enough to ask? And this was my little attempt. Might give you some insight as you think about for yourself. I hope I would say something along these lines. Oh, God, give me a heart that pleases you. Give me the ability to do no intentional harm to others. And give me the wisdom to know what is your will for my life and what I think is my will and desire. When God comes to you and asks for whatever you want, how might you respond? Amen.